Welcome to the Heart of Dating podcast. Hey, it's Kate. I'm so glad you could join us this week as we try to untangle the ever so ambiguous world of dating as a Christian. Over here on Heart of Dating, we get real as we answer some tough questions and uncover transformative ways to approach Christian dating. Oh, and you better believe we have some laughs along the way, because last time I checked, the struggle is hashtag real. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Okay, friends, I could not be more thrilled to share with you this interview today. I was given the privilege to speak with the absolutely amazing Holly Wagner, and I have to tell y'all, I admire her in so many ways. I could go on and on and on. Oh my gosh. Holly and her husband, Philip, are the pastors of Oasis Church here in Los Angeles. They have two children, Jordan and Paris. They have been married for over 30 years, and they have a beautiful, colorful marriage and are passionate about encouraging couples. In fact, they actually wrote a book together a few years ago called Love Works, which is so unique because it provides both of their perspectives and it offers a beautiful picture of how to love each other through your differences. Because while love is work, it is so worth the effort. Holly herself is such an inspiration as she is passionate about seeing women become who God has designed them to be. Through the women's ministry of Oasis called She Rises, she has empowered thousands of women around the world and hosts an annual conference. Holly has written several other books as well, including Find Your Brave, Warrior Chicks, and Awakened, and all of them are incredible. Today, we talk about some of the red flags to look out for in relationships, and we laugh about navigating the differences that we find in others. I hope you just love my interview today with Holly. Oh, it was such a treat. Oh my gosh, Holly, girlfriend, I'm so excited to have you.
Thanks for having me.
This is so exciting. You're a woman after my own heart, a woman that does so many things, and you wear many hats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a girl. We do.
Yeah.
Us women, we wear a lot of stuff.
We're multitaskers. Those guys, they just don't even know what to do with
that. That's right.
But in all seriousness, you're a mother, a pastor, a conference leader, an author, the leader of a women's ministry at your church, and you offer dating and marriage advice. So you do it all. Okay. I just can't even believe that.
I love talking. So this is going to be fun. We'll have a good conversation.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't lie. I was a touch intimidated to speak to you only because I admire you so much. Aww. Because the girl crush feelings are real over here. And so, yeah. What do you not do?
Sing. I don't sing at all. I don't sing. Okay. I don't sing two. Well, I do sing, but nobody really enjoys it. Let's just say that.
Oh my gosh.
I can't put two notes in the same key together.
So. You're just worshiping. You're like, is anyone hearing this right now?
Yeah. I sound good in my own head, but that's really it.
Yeah. We all do, right? Even on this podcast, I'm like, what, does my voice really sound like that in real life? Yeah. Are you just one of those people that ever gets exhausted or you have constant energy?
I do have a lot of energy. Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's just kind of who I am. I mean, you know, I'm always happy for a day off, but I run at a really fast pace, which is very different than my husband.
Yes.
So we certainly had to navigate our different energy levels.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine. Yeah. I call my mom the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah. She's just like, that's what they said about me too. So
really? Yeah. She can go run off 4 hours of sleep and she'll just everything. And I'm like, how do you function?
I know, we're annoying to people.
I feel old sometimes and I'm not that old, but,
Mom.
Like, come on. I'm so excited to dive in. And you and Philip, you have a beautiful, healthy, and I would say colorful marriage, you know,
and we like each other most days.
Most days.
Yeah. Right now we've been married 33 years, you know, in a row.
Oh my
gosh. It's important. In a row. Third year in a row.
In LA,
too.
Let's just put that on there.
Yeah. And it's it's something that you work at, and you know, everybody thinks that you're gonna get married and it's all gonna be perfect. Mm. And you know, and if you've been living, you know, as a Christian and really trying to live the pure life and be celibate, you go, I can finally have sex. Yay, it's gonna be awesome.
Hallelujah to Jesus.
And everything's gonna be easy. And no, it's two becoming one. It's a very messy process. So.
Definitely. And you guys wrote a few years ago this amazing book called Love Works, which, by the way, I could not put down.
Aww.
And I just want you to know, like, I have the copy right here highlighted, but been sharing it with everyone I know for a while since I first read it. And It's so good. I just have to tell you the part about compatibility too.
Right.
When I was reading through that, I reread it recently and I was like, gosh, the part about compatibility really reminded me and opened my eyes, I think, to a lot of things that I never saw in past relationships.
Right.
And actually allowed me to have even further healing on some things where I was like, gosh, we actually weren't compatible. And I never saw that until recently.
Yeah, I mean, you will always be attracted to someone different than you, you know, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have strengths where you don't and the other way around. But there are some things that need to be compatible. They're, you know, similar vision for life and, and a faith and not just, oh, I'm a, if somebody's passionately, you know, Christian and involved in church life and serving and the other person just is a Christmas and Easter Christian, then that's probably not going to work. Mm-hmm. So it's even compatible, not just in that you have the same theology, but that you have the same level of faith, you know, passion.
Absolutely. And, kind of striving. What I like to see is a picture of like just striving at the same place up on the mountain together, you know, versus like someone being down further on the mountain. Right. I've gotten that vision a few times from God where I'm like, I feel like it's somebody who is at your level spiritually, you know, and in relationship with the Lord.
Right.
So important.
Right. Or committed to being on the journey there.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's true. The learnability or is that even a word?
Whatever. I got it.
Like, I get it. I'm on the same wavelength. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I know today I'm really excited because we talked beforehand and really pumped to get into some red flags.
Let's do it.
But, you know, even before that, I want to talk about something. The foundation of any relationship you've talked about before is really loving ourselves.
Yeah.
And, so I guess I just want to ask you, I feel like that's something that a lot of us say. We know where we love ourselves. We can say it out loud. But how do we really know that to the depth of our being? Like,
You know, Jesus said that we're supposed to love other people the way we love ourselves. And sadly, I think we do. I think that's why we're failing at loving people, loving our neighbor, because we don't really love who we are.
Yeah.
And so some of the signs that you, well, first of all, in order to like who you are and love yourself, you have to know who you are.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and for me, any foundation of knowing who I am comes from the Word of God. So I have to know that I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am royalty. I am chosen. I'm forgiven. I'm treasured. I'm loved. I am the will of God. You know, all of those things. You know, we just had a She Rises night at our church and I gave everybody a vinyl that they could put on their mirror that said who I am. I'll give you one before we leave today.
Oh, yes.
And
I'd love
that. And so
just
some of the things to remind you who you are, because in a society that tries to tell you that you're just this lust-crazed animal, they go, no, I'm not actually. I'm a daughter of the King and I can make wise choices. And so sometimes it, beginning to like yourself comes with knowing yourself, and that begins in the Word of God. And otherwise, other people will tell you who you are.
Yeah.
Right?
And then those lies start eating. I mean, they start forming and taking root and you don't even know it after years of like allowing it in.
Right. And we can't get through life using somebody else's identity. You know, we try to be other people or pretend we're other people. It's like trying to get through TSA checkpoint. You know, me using Philip's ID, that's not going to work. And I can say, yeah,
so
but
true.
I kiss him. He's awesome. No, I have to have my own identity. But oftentimes we, you know, just try to use somebody else's. We just don't know who we are. And I just think that is the first step. And I think people get it all out of order. I think they're looking for a relationship and they haven't done the work in their own soul. And most people come from a love. There's a brokenness in us because our families weren't perfect. And so you have to do the work of being a healthy soul.
Yeah.
I think because every relationship, you know, we love the thought of, you know, in that movie, Jerry Maguire, where Tom Cruise said, no, you complete me. Okay, that is stupid.
I know. I just wrote about this recently, actually. Yeah.
Because you're a whole person.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a half a person, no, it's not good.
It's not.
The best relationship is when two whole people come together.
Yeah.
Not perfect. Just whole people. And people who've done the work in their own soul. And so I just think that's step one, is actually knowing who you are, understanding that you have an identity and you know, liking who you are. Because when you do, when you're actually confident in who you are, then you can laugh at yourself. You don't take everything so seriously. You know, the people who are the most insecure are oftentimes the most pushy and the most demanding or afraid or all of that. And it just comes from a, you know, lack of confidence in who they are. And
so they're trying to instill control, I find, often. Yeah, when you are not clear in your identity, you want to, like, those are reactions of someone who needs control over the every situation.
Right. And when you like yourself, you can be generous with other people.
Mm.
You know, I'm not intimidated by other people because I know who I am.
Yeah.
And it's not an arrogance. It's not, I don't think I'm all that in a bag of chips. I just know who I am.
Yeah.
And I think God's created me for a purpose and a lane to run in. And I think he's created you for a purpose and a lane to run in. Hmm. And so if I was to be jealous of what God's given you to do, that's such a waste of time and energy and emotion. I don't need what he's given you to do. You do you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do me. And together we'll actually reach all the people that we're supposed to reach.
Yeah.
But so many times we just, you know, we see somebody in that lane next to us. Like if you're on the Olympics, right? Everybody's got a lane to run in. And or skate in since, you know, the Winter Olympics, but got a lane, right? And everything I need is in my lane and in me to fulfill purpose in that lane. I don't need what's in your lane. Mm-hmm. You do that. But sometimes we look at each other and we get jealous of what doors God's opened for you or, you know, someone else might be further along and they get the platform that you always wanted. Mm-hmm. And we, a sign of someone who doesn't really like themselves, they can't rejoice in that person.
Right.
There's this little, and if we're honest, we've all had it.
Mm-hmm.
This little, like, why isn't that me? That green thing that rises up in us, right? But the goal is to cheer on that person running in the lane next to you, trusting that God has got you.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep walking, crawling, whatever it takes in the lane he's given you.
Mm-hmm.
And quit getting distracted by, you know, for me, there was a time when I thought, I should be singing because I love singing and people who sing look amazing. And I took lessons.
Oh my gosh.
I took lessons. And, I mean, I paid good money. And finally the teacher said, Holly, maybe you should think about the guitar.
You're like, okay.
Which that didn't work out either. But so, cause I was getting distracted by all these amazing singer chicks in my world. I'm like, Oh, well.
I want to have that skill.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, instead of just cheering them on, I started wanting that. Mm-hmm. And it just distracted me from what I'm supposed to do. So figure out what it is God's called you to do and start. You're not going to know the whole picture, but you just start with one thing and begin that journey. And then it'll help you from just being, you know, insecure about being jealous of, you know, who somebody else is. So,
and I love it too, like just loving your flaws. I think that's such a hard thing in our society to love the things that maybe are weird or that we're flawed in, because we all have flaws, but, you know, loving it and embracing it, you know?
Right. There is an element of we all have imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. I think in our culture today, the authentic, you know, is the big word.
Yes.
And I'm being authentic about my weaknesses, but integrity is working on them.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
Just admitting them is good, step one. But then the integrity is, if I find I'm, you know, my little quirk is I'm always late. Well, there's no integrity in that. So be honest about your quirk, but start learning how to get on time.
Right.
What can you do?
Yeah.
Whatever it might be. So I think you're, on one hand, you're right. It's like, love all the little flaws and, you know, the way your hair parts and the, you know, whatever, the dry skin. I don't know, whatever it is you got.
Yeah. Body shape. That's a big one for all of us.
Body shape. It's like, okay, so be healthy, but just like who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And stop comparing. The comparison is
it's the worst.
And when it comes to dating, we do this all the time. I mean, dating and marriage, you know, I think it's probably hard. I'm sure. I don't know. But for married couples to not compare against other married couples. And in dating, it's the same thing. And also, when you're in your 30s or in your 20s and you're still single and comparing to everyone else who's not single, it's difficult. You start questioning yourself. You start questioning, am I really lovable? Am I really worthy? All these lies start feeding to you that you're not.
Well, I think, you know, being single is not a disease. It's a season.
Right.
Right? So,
so good.
It's just like being a mother of a toddler. It feels like forever, but it's just a season.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, you know, when someone is single and if their whole goal is to find a spouse, then they're not going to be somebody who anybody wants to hang out with.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the point of figuring out who you are. What is it that you love to do? Be an interesting person.
Yes.
Have a life. Be running. And then all of a sudden you're going to look around and, oh, there's going to be some people running alongside you.
Mm.
But if you're just sitting there waiting for, you know, Mr. Amazing or Mrs. Amazing to come along. It's like, nah, get busy. Get busy living your life and loving God and put yourself in environments where you're meeting people who actually have the same level of faith that you do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so
sitting, good. Sitting at home alone isn't going to get that either.
Yeah.
I had this conversation with someone one time and they were just saying, you know, I just am not meeting anybody. I go, well, what are you doing to meet people then?
Yeah.
Are you, go take a salsa class. I don't know. Do something.
Right.
Have an interest.
Even at the grocery store, we need to open our minds about people all around.
Right.
You know, like
right.
there's people we could be meeting anywhere. I mean, you know, even just on an interesting level to meet someone, you know, but we're so closed off. And I think that that's true. I heard, I think it was Henry Cloud said, you know, if you're waiting for the FedEx man to just knock on your door and God to bring you the FedEx, like a perfect like package, it's not going to happen, you know, unless you're marrying the FedEx guy.
Right.
You got to get out there.
Right.
Hey, friends, question for you. Are you ready to take our relationship to the next level? Don't worry, this is a good thing. I want to invite you to be a part of the Heart of Dating Inner Circle. I am so thankful for Patreon because it gives artists and creators the ability to raise funds to do what they do best in crafting amazing works for their communities by allowing you, the fiercest of the fierce audience, to sign up for monthly pledges to support. You can sign up to support this podcast for as little as $5 a month, which these days is equivalent to one hipster cup of coffee. Let's just be real. So what's in it for you? Our Patreon clan will have first access to our episodes, as well as behind the scenes looks into interviews, process, and more. It would mean the world to me if you checked out the Heart of Dating Patreon page so we can together empower others to live their best dating lives. Come on now. I really want to continue to bring you helpful episodes, the best possible interviews, and stellar content. You can find out more at www.patreon.com/heartofdating.
Yes.
So, okay, loving yourself is number one. And then how do we test that for others that we might consider dating, that they really love themselves? What are some things that
Well, there is a line, isn't it, between loving yourself and being arrogant?
Yeah.
Because I've been with people who are arrogant. And, and that's not attractive. You know, not attractive. And it probably stems from their own insecurity. But again, someone who, if you are spending time with someone and they can laugh at themselves and they're quick to apologize.
Yeah.
I find someone who... who's just quick to go, my bad, sorry. Then there's confidence in themselves realizing they can apologize and not give up everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if someone doesn't ever apologize, that's a sign that they're not really confident in who they are. So laugh at themselves, generous with words, and can give, then that's really crucial.
Mm-hmm. Those are good things. Yeah, that humbleness is so, people are afraid to admit they're sorry, I think, a lot of times, because of what it makes them look like.
Yeah,
others,
which the thing is, they already look like that. So it's better to just own your bad.
Just so true.
Be quick to say, I'm sorry. There was a movie that came out way a long time ago, way before you were born.
Okay.
Called Love Story. And the famous line from it was, love is never having to say you're sorry. Well, I think that's just a bunch of BS. I think love is actually being the first to say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Own it. Admit it.
Yeah. Why? That doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to say we're sorry. Okay, so I think it's so funny. As singles, we live our whole lives with just ourselves, and it makes it easy to meet all of our own needs. But, you know, the struggle is real when we enter into relationships and suddenly we realize, oh my gosh, I have someone else in the picture now. Now I just have to start voicing my needs. So I guess, first of all, is it wrong for us to have needs?
Well, no. Everybody has needs. But here's the thing. Having needs and being needy are two different things.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, needy people suck the life out of you. Healthy people can communicate, this is a need I have, and here it is. And then you can talk about, is this something fair to ask this person to meet? Or is this really something I'm asking them to meet that only God can actually meet that need? So I think figuring out what those are, you know, my self-esteem doesn't come from anybody.
Yeah.
And I think so many times we look for people to build, to fill us up like that. And it comes because I know who I am in God. So,
yeah, just the neediness thing. I think people are so afraid to voice what they actually need. And for women, for example, I think we do this too often, men too, but we think that we just want people to read our minds. We kind of think like, oh, I just want him to do that.
Yeah, or no, they don't have that gift. Men are amazing, but they are not that.
Yeah.
No, and that was, you know, I remember back in the early years of our marriage, you know, I would say, I would get so frustrated because I felt like if I had to ask Philip for a hug, then it didn't count. And well, sadly, then I wasn't going to have much to count on, right? So I had to learn to go, no, he wants to do it. He wants to get a win. He wants to do the right thing. I just have to tell him.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm really feeling vulnerable right now. I really need a hug. Okay, yay. And then it's awesome.
Yeah.
But women, we just, yeah, this is where we can get stupid and just, no, he should know I'm.
Exactly.
And they're not intuitive like that. They're just not. And so you're going to set yourself up to fail. Now, there's always the exceptions, of course, but most of them are not.
I feel like that conversation exactly is the one I have too many times with girlfriends, you know, where it's like, I just wish he knew to do that. I just wish he knew. I mean, it's not that I haven't done that in the past too and thought those things, but if you don't explain it to the person in love that that's a need of yours or something you'd really appreciate, how are they going to know? Right. You know,
exactly.
What do you think? So just on that, like red flag kind of moving too fast, too quickly, I think a lot of people fall into infatuation really quickly and it's all the feels and butterflies and heart eye emoticons and all of those things, which is lovely to feel. But I think it can be a little cloudy for us in discerning if it's really someone who has true qualities that are meant for marriage. So how do we discern along the way and make sure we're not moving too fast?
Well, yeah, some of the red flags that, you know, you mentioned that we talk about in the book. So there's just some real qualities to look for in a person. Because while you're in that in love, you know, fairy tale phase, which is a wonderful phase, you still have to use your brain and be paying attention. So and not make excuses. That's what I think sometimes happens is we go, oh, well, you know, he didn't really mean it that way. Or she didn't see it. And like, no, take a look at don't be so, you know, in love cloud that you're not seeing who they really are.
Right.
And so look for some things like, do they serve anywhere? Because if you're with someone who doesn't serve, and I mean anything, take someone to LAX at 6 a.m.
That's a service.
Help you move or volunteer at church or volunteer at a hospital, something. If they're not serving, then I would run out of that. I would end that relationship or have the conversation about why aren't you, and let's figure out a way to do something, because marriage is about serving one another.
Yeah.
There are days when it's 100% serving. And if you have seen no evidence of that in this person, then it's a little bit delusional to think that they would all of a sudden begin to serve you in a way and understand you if you haven't seen it anywhere. So I think, that's a big red flag.
And even in small ways serving, right? Because I think we sometimes get into this place of like, oh, well, they have to be going on mission trips all the time, or they have to be doing that. And those are great. But like, true to your point, taking someone to the airport in awful LA traffic hours is a huge service.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We're stuck on the 405 for an hour, you know, or more.
And then another one I would just say, so one of the things I really appreciate when Philip and I were dating about him is he was continuing to grow. So he was reading books and we would read books together and ask questions. And so he's doing this personal growth journey. And I think it's so important that we're all committed to personal growth, because we're not perfect people and we all have wounds that need to be healed and worked on. And so, again, you're not going to marry someone perfect, but are they committed to growing? And so when you're dating someone, are they doing that? Are they learning anything new? I just think that's pretty important. So that sort of personal growth, with someone.
I think reading is a huge one. I mean, reading is one that I actually for years didn't like, but I'm not going to lie. Yeah. But in the past few years, I've really noticed the value of it. I mean, so it could be reading or listening to podcasts, getting information. And I think, and I know you guys talk about this, but the difference between just like knowledge and then wisdom.
Right.
And you know, knowledge is just getting information, but what do we do with that to turn it into wisdom? But someone has to be interesting. They have to be like seeking after some sort of growth.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like right now, I am actually going back to school to get my master's. And so I'm taking all, you know, classes and reading, oh my gosh, all these books.
Really? Yeah.
And I get asked a lot, like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Because I always want to be learning something. I want to be stretching. I just don't think you ever get there. Right. And it doesn't have to be in a class like that, but just like you said, it could be reading books. I would, if someone is not reading a book, I would challenge that a little bit.
Yeah.
Or even reading the Bible and using a commentary to learn something about it.
Yeah.
Something where you're just learning new things. Mm-hmm. Or Philip and I always read dating and marriage books. Always.
Yeah.
And worked on devotionals together. And sometimes it was easier than others. And, you know, sometimes I wanted to throw that devotional at his head, you know, but...
Yeah. Let's be real here. Yes.
But yeah, oh just God. Being committed to learn something, anything.
Mm-hmm. And how important do you think, I've talked about this before, but mentorship in that, learning through mentorship too, whether that be peer-to-peer or getting, I mean, what is your thoughts on mentorship in relationship?
Mentorship is not peer-to-peer. So mentor is someone who's a little further up the road than you are.
Yeah.
Right. So that would be, if you need a mentor in your business, then you want someone who's actually done some successful business practices.
Exactly.
If you want some mentoring in a relationship, you want someone who has some level of experience in a relationship.
Yeah.
So your peers are the ones you can vent with. Mm-hmm. But most of the time we get not great advice from our peers.
Seriously.
If they're in the same situation. Now they might be great at singing and they can mentor you and have a vocal coach, but they may not be the good relationship one if they haven't built one. Mm-hmm. And so I think we put weird pressure on people to be mentors perhaps, or speak to us, and they don't have the skills yet. And so that's probably not fair. It is important to get wisdom, and somebody can mentor you in a lot of ways, you know, in a way I've mentored you because you read my book.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And here we are having this conversation, but we haven't even had coffee yet. What the heck?
I know. Let's make that happen.
So it doesn't always have to be. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can be mentored by someone because you've listened to teachings of theirs or podcasts or read their books. And then it can evolve and then there'll be somebody who you sit with, you know, sort of regularly.
Yeah.
It's interesting. People will say, you know, can you mentor me, Holly? I go, well, if you can keep up, I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
So you can come with me when I go on this trip and that's how we'll have conversations, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to stop my life to spend 10 hours a week here. It's like, that's not how that works. So, but it is important, especially in like at our church, we've got connect groups led by people who have had successful marriages, and we have a marriage ministry and we do classes, and that's crucial. So it is important to be learning, especially in the society we're living in, right? Where marriages get eaten up.
Oh, yeah.
And people enter them with this fantasy, beautiful wedding life, and they don't have the skills. Mm. And it's interesting because I actually appreciate that you're, you know, having this conversation and reading books because, look, when you have surgery, not you, but somebody have surgery, you're going to hope that your doctor has been to medical school.
Yeah.
That he's just not giving it a go on you, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same in marriage, right? So we should, before we say I do, we should have some skills. Mm. You will get more.
Yeah.
But you should have some skills. Mm-hmm. And I think we waste too much time looking for the fantasy and not developing, you know, the skills that we're talking about here.
So true. So I guess a nugget to take from that is, if you're in a dating relationship or seeking one, have wise counsel from people who have done it right, who are in a successful marriage right now, and seek that out.
And hang out with some married people.
Yeah.
So it's, this is the other conversations I've had. I've said to, when you're having people over for dinner, don't just have all the same season in life people.
So good.
You know,
yeah,
mix it up
true.
A little bit.
Yeah. Challenging me a bit, actually, as I'm sitting here, I'm like, you know, I mean, a lot of my friends are single, but it's so great to have everyone in different seasons of life with you.
Right.
And it opens up the floor for so many different kinds of conversations instead of us all just wondering, how are we dating, or this, that, and the other, all of us single people talking about that.
Right.
Because
then you'll see real interaction. Mm-hmm. You know, we learn things just as much by watching. You know, they say that things are caught more than taught, right? So seeing a functional family is huge to painting a picture of how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I've had different young women who come into my life and have helped in different seasons. And for many of them, they had never really seen a healthy marriage. And so just by watching us interact, it's not like I sat with them every day and gave them five principles. They just watched it.
Yeah.
And so now they all have really healthy marriages. And I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but I probably could. It's like, because I feel like they saw something. Mm. And so I just think you have to put yourself in those places.
That's really good.
most single people won't do that.
Yeah.
And they're complaining that they don't have a marriage or that they don't have the guy they want to date, but they're not spending time with people who have done it. Mm. I would never think about starting a business without talking to people and spending time with someone who's done it.
Yeah.
So marriage is no different. Mm-hmm. And I just think intentionally, not just hanging out with all your groovy single people mm-hmm. and going to the clubs and the, but whatever you do occasionally.
Breaking it down.
Occasionally go hang out with some married people with kids and watch a family that's functional or even you'll know nah, that doesn't really work for me or whatever. Mm. But just put yourself in that environment. Anyway, that was a really good point you brought up.
No, it's so, you know what? I recently wrote about this actually in my blog that instead of the number one quality, you know, is does he love Jesus? Does she love Jesus? But for me, the second, like the biggest quality other than that prerequisite is, are they a learner?
Yep,
and 100%. Learner, you know, seeking after wisdom. Are they humble and admitting they're wrong and want to learn how to grow? You know, all of that we just talked about is huge, and it's lacking in ways. I think it was lacking for me for many years. And so now I've opened this like whole new world. I just saw Aladdin the other night, and I'm obviously still
thinking about it. Are you going to sing tonight?
Right, yeah. Uh-huh. No.
Okay. Well, I couldn't
people
join
are
you.
Tuning out right now. I'm not a singer either. Need those lessons. But yeah, I mean, it's just like seeking knowledge, and hopefully people listening to this podcast find something interesting and that this is, you know, for them a way to listen to advice and input from people who are navigating it or who have navigated it well. And, you know, that's one step in the right direction of learning and growing, because I think you wrote this in the book too. I'm like, obviously just spinning out all the things I remember, but if you want to be a good mom and you're becoming a mom, you can't just say, okay, well, I know all I need to know. I hope it's good enough.
Right.
You know, it's like, no, if you're not, if it's difficult, you should be reading books, asking other moms, like putting yourself in situations where you can learn and seek advice and grow in wisdom. I don't want to ever be like, oh no, these are the only tools I have. I hope they're good enough.
Right.
And that's what we do with dating too often, you know?
Yes.
And so, yeah. So.
You want to talk about another red flag?
Yes, please. I would love to.
Okay. One of the ones that Philip writes about in the book is emotional recklessness.
Ooh, that's good.
And basically this is someone who can't manage their emotions. Mm. Emotions are awesome.
Yeah.
But you should be leading them and not being led by them. Mm. And I think because what happens is the things that we do out of our emotions can bring damage. It's, you know, it comes out on our Facebook page, our Instagram feed, our emotions, we're venting, we're doing whatever. And it's like, you know, do you know that you're the person you want a job from? They're going to look through your Facebook page. What does it look like? Mm. Are you just spewing nonsense? Are you careless with appearance? I mean, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you showing your whole life? Because I don't know that company's going to hire you. So to me, it's when I would, you know, talk to people about dating, it's asking the question, how do they handle their emotions? Do they fly off the handle at every little thing? Do you feel like you have to walk on eggshells? Mm. Do you find yourself forever apologizing and not getting anything back from them? Mm. How are they handling the hard things? I think that's why you have to date for a while. Somebody that meets and then gets married 3 months later, I'm like, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Because it takes a season, to go through seasons. You want to go through seasons with someone.
Right.
The hard things, the good things, just to see how they respond and react.
And dealing with conflict and the emotional recklessness, I feel like is so important to see how someone actually deals with conflict.
Can you have conflict and work through it? How do they resolve? Most people are not great at that. I mean, we had to learn it. And so you have to learn how to handle conflict resolution, how to have the fierce conversations and be on the same page at the end or agree to disagree and, you know, get there.
And even with conflict, just in that is that we all receive information in different ways, you know, just intrinsically how we are. So we have to learn that about the other person. How do they best receive love and information in times of conflict, you know? And how can I best say this that they're going to best receive it?
Yep.
But that's a learned process. And I think it's learned together a lot of times in dating. I mean.
Yeah. And then even you think about somebody who's can't manage emotions. They try to manipulate you. So they let their emotions. So maybe there's a guy. I mean, it could be a girl, but, you know, a guy who's, you know, I'm just, again, having needs is is fine. It's the needy. So then it becomes this emotional, and then they kind of manipulate you into having sex when you don't really want to, but it's like their emotions drive this.
Yeah.
And so just watching how people handle their emotions. And so to me in dating, you know, being very clear about your boundaries, about boundaries of how you'll be spoken to, about how boundaries physically, I mean, it's being clear, and someone who's emotionally healthy will respect those.
Yeah, that's so good. It's, I mean, it's, I just had this conversation last night with people about boundaries, with girlfriends actually, about, you know, physical, emotional boundaries and all of that, and how important that is in relationship and navigating that. And I think we can't be afraid to state what our boundaries are clearly, because just to your point, someone who is respecting you is going to respect those boundaries.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Period.
Boundaries are good.
So how do we not be controlled by our emotions in relationship, I guess? So, like, because emotional recklessness, it's hard to, you know, we enjoy the feelings of love and relationship, but how do we not find ourselves in infatuation? I think a lot of people do that.
Well, you just can't let your emotions be bigger than your values. Mm. So you should have a clear concept of what your values are.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that you would feel in a moment that would lead you away from them, you have to be careful about.
Mm. Mm.
You know, make, again, feeling is awesome. Being led by that so that you make decisions. It's like, I feel sad, so I'm going to, you know, go eat that whole pie. It's like, no, let's figure out something else to do. You feel sad, so maybe instead let's go hang out with a friend. Let's eat, nothing against the pie, but you know what I mean? So our emotions, it's like we can go down this tunnel with them or lash out at somebody. And I just think if we had a clear set of values, that would be really helpful.
Mm. I find too, with emotional stuff, that there's a lot of things that come up in relationship from your past, basically. Like it brings up things that maybe you've dealt with in the past that you've maybe done a decent job at dealing with, but, or healing from, but then you're suddenly in a relationship and finding yourself, oh my goodness, I've dealt with that years ago, but now it's kind of coming back up.
No, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That I think sometimes what happens is, and I've seen this in the 30, you know, plus years of pastoring a church, I've seen this happen time and time again, where, you know, people do all the right things when they're dating, they make the right choices. They go through the classes, and which, by the way, are very important. Mm. And
classes.
Yes, pre-marriage classes.
Yeah.
And before you set a wedding date, because we've had people go through the classes and go, you know what? We're probably not going to be marrying each other.
And this is during engagement, right? Or before?
No, or just seriously minded.
Okay,
like, we have the classes for serious relationships and those who are already engaged, but you can't have set a wedding date.
Okay, interesting.
So it takes the pressure off then.
Yeah.
I've seen this a few times, is that people do all the right things and they get into a relationship and now they're married.
Yeah.
And then something that had been healed. So maybe they had been abused as a child and they'd actually gone through some stuff, but now it's coming up again. And it comes up sometimes because that little girl is now in a safe place. Mm. And so she can get help a different way. And so then we've walked a few people through that and helped them get counselors and da, da, da. But I think that happens. So sometimes you get, you're like in a settled place finally. And then that woundedness comes up to be dealt with. And I've seen it with men and women.
Yeah.
And that's not a horrible thing. It just has to be done. And then maybe 10 years later, when you have a child, then something else comes up and you have to work through that too.
Right.
Yeah. Cause we all come with our own set of baggage. No human comes without it.
Yeah. I think it also goes back to the learning. You notice that it's coming up, being self-aware in that moment and wanting to seek the growth, change, and healing that's necessary. I think going into relationship, people tend to forget that there's going to be some hard things that come up.
Right.
Your singleness is just you and the Lord. You're adding someone into the picture here.
And you want, and just like be, and again, we all have our stuff and I just think that you want to be honest with your stuff and, you know, and have honest conversations. So you want someone when you're dating who tells you the truth about themselves. So if they were ever in prison or have an STD or have an addiction, it's none of those things are by themselves just qualifiers, as long as they are committed to working on them.
Yeah.
And they've been sober for a long time or, I mean, more than a week. So... You know, it's like you want to see evidence that they have growth happening, whatever their issue would be.
Do you have any input on that point? Just like coming to my head about how much is too much to reveal too soon on those sorts of things that are maybe a little bit more difficult or more vulnerable to share upfront with.
Right. Good question. I think sometimes we, you know, vomit on people too soon. It's mm-hmm. like, wah! Yeah, no. First, it's just coffee. Just have coffee. Mm-hmm. See if there's any connection, if there's even worth the next date, if the next date's going to happen.
Right.
But if you've been with someone for a few months and you, you know, either have an STD or I'm just using that as an example,
yeah.
or, you know, we're, you know, a coke addict for years and then been sober 3 years, you probably need to say that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think I'd necessarily blurt it out on the first date unless you, you know, met them at a recovery thing or something, which that's another story. But,
yeah,
you know, but I just think I would see if the relationship's going anywhere and mm-hmm. then you can share one thing and see how they handle that. And then you don't have to tell everything in one go.
Mm.
Again, that's why you date for a while.
Yeah. So for a while, I know that's a hard timeline to navigate, but like, what do you think is a safe timeline? I know it's different for different people,
well,
but
actually some really smart people, it might even be the eHarmony people, or it might've been
yeah.
Cloud. I can't remember, but said 18 yeah. months to 2 years
mm.
because you see
seasons. I think I read that in the Sacred Search book too.
Okay,
if you,
be.
Yeah, he says infatuation is 12 to 18 months.
Right.
So you have to wait
right.
until you're sure that infatuation isn't blinding you from
right.
the truth. 12. So, okay. Yeah.
So that's why you slow it down and enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Cause if you're going to be committed to a 40-year marriage, what's 18 months?
Yeah, true. I mean, it's not, I mean, but we are in, I think what happens is as the older you get, you're like, okay, someone's great. Okay, great. Sign me up. You
right.
know? And I think there's a lot though missing in that process.
Yes, 100%.
I have been there many times. After 6 months, I'm ready. Let's do it. But then I've gotten my heart broken because I didn't see that there were actually red flags that the guy saw that I didn't see,
right.
you know?
Right.
And then it's over and what's happening now?
Right.
Like, you know, 12 to 18 months, I think is hard for people, but that's so wise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
12 to 18 months of date or like until marriage. You're saying, right?
Yeah. I just think you want to date. 18 months would probably be a good ballpark. I think there's unusual ones. Certainly people will say, well, you know, my parents knew each other for 6 weeks and got married. Well, okay. They're the exception, not the norm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's too many mm-hmm. studies and we list a bunch of them in the book. There's the statistics. So
yeah,
it's like you can, maybe you'll be the exception. Maybe you will be.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll be like everybody else who marriage didn't last.
Yeah. Kind of going back to even what we said earlier about too fast, too soon.
Yep.
And how a friend told me this recently that, I mean, there's nothing bad that ever came from patient waiting,
no.
you know? And so why rush into even making something exclusive with someone or right. making them your boyfriend? You can, that's something even, I mean, that could even be navigated more slowly, I think
yep.
sometimes for people. I've had in the past where I've met someone and I'm exclusive 1 week later. And did I really know?
Right.
No,
right.
you know, and so, yeah, nothing bad comes from being patient and waiting.
No, and waiting. And waiting is not a passive word. It's a pretty aggressive
mm-hmm.
verb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's trusting that, you know, God is doing what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's action to it. It's listening. There's this story
mm-hmm.
that I've told before about this. Man, this is back in the day, man who went into this job, into his office to apply for a job as a Morse code operator. So back in the day. So he's going in and he walks into this office and there's six or seven other people waiting for a job. And everybody had to sign in and there's a door that they're going to be called to go in and they're all waiting. And he's sitting there waiting. And then all of a sudden he gets up and he walks through the door and everybody's like, what the heck's this guy doing?
Yeah.
Well, he walks through the door and then the supervisor walks back out with the man and everybody's thinking, see, he's going to get busted. And the supervisor walked out and said, well, actually all of you can go. This man just got the job. And they're like, what? That's not fair. He said, well, while you were sitting here, the Morse code was tapping out. As soon as you hear this and understand this, come through this door. Said, so this man was waiting, listening and waiting. And he walked through. You were just sitting in here.
Oh, wow.
So that's what waiting is. It's not just twiddling your thumbs, wondering when the right thing's going to happen. It's actually putting yourself in environments where you are learning and growing and hanging around people who inspire you, mm-hmm. and you're learning to be confident in who you are, and you're listening for what the Spirit of God is saying to you and how he's leading you. And, you know, desperation does not ever accomplish anything.
Yeah. It just makes me, patience. It's such a hard thing when you're getting older, and maybe God is saying, I don't know, maybe there's still things he wants to work on you.
Always, whether you're married or single. Yeah. It's like marriage doesn't end what you think. Yeah. It's like marriage doesn't end loneliness. Mm. There's lonely married people.
True.
Right?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
You know, marriage is the potential to actually, you know, grow and do more for the kingdom. There's all that potential, but it doesn't solve the wounds of your soul. Mm. So I think so many times we have those expectations that are just not right. Mm. And it will destroy the person you're marrying because it's unreasonable. Mm. So you have to be careful. I think that's one of the other just flags is just the high expectations or the wrong expectations.
The wrong expectations. And expecting for someone to fulfill holes that only God can fill, right. which we kind of talked about earlier. Right. One last thing I know you guys talk in the book too about, we kind of touched on it, the incompatibilities, mm-hmm. but, when I was reading through that, I think emotional compatibility is so important. And I think, well, there's so many different kinds of compatibilities, but what are some of the, maybe we should talk through those just briefly here, on some different compatibilities that we can really look for as we're navigating to make sure in the season and as we're being patient and waiting, you know, really testing out, are we truly compatible?
Yeah, that's good. So, just the truth is most people when they get divorced, the line that you see is irreconcilable differences.
Right. Right?
And the truth is we all have irreconcilable differences. Mm-hmm. So there are differences we will all have. The incompatible part is what we're just going to push in. So the differences actually can make us stronger.
Yeah.
Some of these are the ones that are the challenging. So there's the emotional compatibility.
Yeah.
So that would be, you know, being in tune with, you want someone who's compatible emotionally. So they're in tune with your dreams and your goals and just in sync with about what brings contentment and satisfaction in life. If someone is satisfied by, emotionally by isolation and being alone, and the other one is satisfied emotionally by always being around people, there's going to be some tensions there.
Mm.
If neither one of you are willing to, you know, yield any. And then there's, physical compatibility, or you have to be attracted.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, they love Jesus. And so I'm just going to, no, but yeah, you're going to be kissing this person for a long time. And you don't want to leave any door to be tempted elsewhere. So you need to be attracted to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is compatible energy levels. And this has been where probably Philip and I've had a little tension.
You have the high energy.
So just navigating that. It's not, again, these are not.
It's not a deal breaker, but it's just to notice.
Because you're not going
to
find somebody who's compatible in all of these.
Yes.
But you just need more than not.
You need to be aware. I think that's the whole point of why we, even talking through it, it's not that any of these are complete deal breakers. If it's not fully aligned, you just have to be aware of these differences.
And again, it's, 100%. And just like spiritual compatibility, which we talked about. You just need someone who doesn't just say, I like Jesus. I'll go on Easter. And then you're on the worship team. Mm. It's like, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't be so desperate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Don't be desperate. Know how to love yourself. Be patient throughout the process. Right. Don't rush anything.
Right.
Gosh, so many good things. Boom, done.
Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Smile. Mm. Joyful people are attractive. Who wants to be around the, you know, depressed, anxious, neurotic person? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy your life and find something that you love to do and do it.
Be interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Be interesting.
Be interesting.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Any last piece of advice that you have for the listeners, the singles in LA or otherwise, anything else you want to say?
For the listeners who are followers of Jesus,
we
are part of a different kingdom. And I think we have an obligation and responsibility to navigate relationships at a different level.
Mm.
And we are supposed to be influencing culture with our relationships, with how we do them. And so I would just encourage you to get into a great community of faith who talk about relationships, who have environments and classes and groups of people that you can learn how to do it and be inspired by. So then we can actually influence the city that God is trusting us with.
So good. Oh my gosh, Holly, this has been so much fun.
Oh, well,
I feel like we're girlfriends now.
We're totally girlfriends.
I'm like, gosh. Okay, let's set up our coffee date right
now. Let's do it.
Okay.
Do it.
Well, I so appreciate all your insight, just everything you and Philip. You guys are doing such amazing things here in LA at Oasis Church. And it's just been an honor to speak with you.
I think
this is going to touch so many lives. So thank you for all your insight.
Thanks for having me.
Wow, wasn't that just incredible? She is such a cool woman. I just can't wait for our coffee date. If you want to find Holly, I highly encourage you to follow her on Instagram at HollyWagnerLA. You can also visit her amazing women's ministry at SheRises.com. Or, of course, you can visit her at Oasis Church if you're local to LA or visiting. You can also pick up one of her multiple books. The one we frequently referenced today during our talk was Love Works, which seriously changed my life, people. Or you can get one of her other beautiful pieces. I am so thankful and just honored that Holly wanted to come on the podcast today and share her incredible insight. I really and truly hope you feel encouraged after listening to our conversation today. Also, if you support this mission, I'd love, love, love for you to hit subscribe on iTunes. Please, please, please. You can also stay up to date with show notes on heartofdating.com. And you can follow along on Instagram at heartofdating. And, you know, if you happen to know a friend or two that might need some dating help, I'd love for you to share this with them and get them to also support this. We have some amazing guests coming up in the coming weeks, and I am confident you will love it. So stick with me as we journey through this together. Until next time, friends.